This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Spilling the Reality, where the journey of a Russian adoptee living with a disability is shared and brought to life. Hey guys, so in this episode, I thought I would talk about concussion and retinal detachment, as they are rather present in my life right now. Well, retinal detachment, not so much concussion anymore, but definitely retinal detachment. Okay, so around the end of May of 2022, I fell over backwards and I hit the back of my head on a wooden floor. At first, I wasn't showing any signs of having a concussion, so I thought I was fine. This, however, was not the case, unfortunately. The next day, I had gone to a friend's performance, choir performance, I think it was, or an instrumental performance. It was really good, actually. And then I started developing a headache halfway through. This headache was like nothing I'd ever felt before, and it was honestly, I think, one of the worst headaches I've ever had. It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was kind of just like really, really painful. It was kind of like a bowling ball. I guess I could describe it like that. It was a bit like a bowling ball rolling around in my head. And we got to the end of the performance, and we went over to my friend to congratulate her. And it got to the point where I could barely stand. I was in so much pain, I could barely stand, and I was really dizzy. So we were like, uh-oh, what's going on? And then the next day, I was fine. Like, the next day, no headache or anything. I was completely fine, which was really weird. And then 2 weeks later, I again got a bowling ball headache. I was sitting in economics, and I started getting a really bad headache, and I was like, well, this ain't good. So I got up, left class, went home, and then we called the doctor, and they were like, oh, you've got a mild concussion. And we were like, okay, cool, that sucks. I don't really remember what happened after that, but it was fine. And then 3 weeks after that, I was still getting my symptoms from concussion, and I hadn't really gotten any better. So then I was referred to APM for post-concussion syndrome, and I was given a lovely occupational therapist who came to see me weekly at my house and sometimes also in the APM clinic. And she was supposed to help me navigate school life and all that, because I was getting really debilitating symptoms like dizziness. My balance was really off, like even more off than normal. Yeah, I was super tired, like my fatigue levels were just skyrocketed, honestly. I was not functioning properly at all. And so this was halfway through term two of year 11, which for me was also NCA level one. For months after the concussion, I was only able to attend school half days at school, and only like a few times a week, so I wasn't attending that much because I just didn't have the energy to. So thankfully, before this happened, I'd set myself up really well for NCA level one, so I was sweet, which was honestly really good, because I could just come to school, do whatever work I needed to, and I was basically set for the year, which was really good in this particular situation. Thank you, level one me, for doing a lot of work in the first two terms. Yeah, really paid off. But yeah, every time my occupational therapist came to visit me, she would pull out a chart of different batteries and like explaining energy levels. And every time she came, she would be telling me the importance of resting and like not overexerting myself with like activities and stuff that would make me tired, and also like keeping myself away from like physical activity that could injure me, like sports and stuff like that, because I was told that if I got another concussion, then it would be harder to recover from, because another symptom that I had was memory loss. And for me, I think my memory is pretty good, so that is something that definitely helps me in day-to-day life, including with school. So losing my memory was actually really devastating, and I was terrified I wouldn't get it back. Thankfully, I did, though, because I rested and I followed the, I guess, concussion, what you're supposed to do afterwards. I also lost my appetite for the first 2 weeks, and I wasn't sleeping either. So concussion is no joke. It is quite rough, actually. But yeah, so it was basically having my brain shaken up in my skull, is how they described it. It kind of like bouncing in my skull or whatever. I was also referred to a neuropsych, a different psychologist, and two physiotherapists, one for my neck because I had also injured my neck, and one for like coordination, balance, dizziness and all that. And I was very close to needing an MRI because of how long my recovery was taking. It took me just over a year, I'm pretty sure, to actually fully recover from it. So yeah, I am very grateful that I set myself up for NCA level 1 before I was concussed, because even when exams came around, which I was miserable during, because I don't know what my concussion or brain decided to do during that time, but I had one specific exam where it was really bad, to the point where I was sitting in there and the floor started spinning and I felt like I was going to vomit. I didn't, but it was really awful, and I only stayed in that exam for like half an hour, and somehow I still managed to get a merit on both papers. This was for English. Yeah, I'm quite proud of myself for that, actually. Yeah, so the concussion was really brutal, and I missed out on a lot of like opportunities and stuff that I had wanted to do that year, like the youth group ski trip and stuff like that. I still got to go on it, thankfully, but I didn't get to ski, which for me was a little bit of a disappointment since I'd never gone skiing before and I really wanted to. But that weekend was still really good because I just spent the entire weekend building snowmen and weird snow creatures that I tried to build a giraffe in the snow. It doesn't really look like a giraffe, though. So, yeah. This concussion, concussions are awful. I'm just going to say that. Concussions are awful. Mine was classified as mild. However, the year of hell I went through with that, that was not mild for me. Another thing with that is and my cerebral palsy made it a lot more complicated, because no one could, like, we all found it really hard to differentiate between, were my symptoms just my normal cerebral palsy, or were they from concussion? Because with cerebral palsy, I get fatigued really easily, my balance is off, and all that. And so there were those symptoms that we weren't sure, was it my cerebral palsy or was it concussion? And my occupational therapist was trying to help me get back to normal, but like, what was my normal with that? So that made it a bit more challenging for me and everyone else. But my teachers at school, like, handled it really well. Like, I got a lot of support and stuff, which I'm very grateful for, and it was very helpful and good. Slowly, though, towards the end of the year, I, like, managed to build back up to full days and stuff, which was really good. Yeah, so after this concussion, I thought it was all over. I thought, great, sweet. I can now do this VR headset thing up in Christchurch, attend school full time. Like, I'm better. This is great. However, I was at church one day and I started to get double vision, and I couldn't see the like, I was at the back of church and I couldn't see the, like, up the front. And I was like, okay, this is a bit strange. And then I started getting these wee floaty things in my eyes, like wee wispy things, wee specks. I don't really know how to describe it, but I knew it wasn't normal. So I remember I was texting my friends and I was asking them about it. And they were like, yeah, we don't have that. You should probably tell your parents. And so I did tell my parents. And then I told my occupational therapist. And so then she referred me to a different optometrist from where I was at that time. And the optometrist she referred me to is incredible. Honestly, she's so amazing. And all the people that work there are amazing too. Super grateful for them. She had picked up that there was something not right with my eyes, but she couldn't pinpoint on what it was. So then I got referred to a ophthalmologist who then picked up that there was something really not right. And originally we thought it was retinal schisis, which is wee tears and wee holes in your retina. And so then he referred me to a retina surgeon. And hearing the word surgeon kind of set off alarm bells for me. I was like, what? Like, surgeon, where's this going? Because I hadn't had surgery since year 8. I thought I was, like, sweet. I thought I was out of the surgery zone. And I was supposed to be seeing him on the 1st of June, 2023. And that day also happened to be a teacher-only day, or a day that I didn't have school. So, 1st of June, we go to the hospital, and we see him for the first time. And he's looking at the back of my retinas, and he's like, you've got retinopathy of prematurity and retinal detachment. And I was like, what? Like, what? And then he said, you need surgery. And then I was really like, hold on, wait, what? And he was like, you're very young for this. Like, I don't want to do it too early. So we're going to try and wait till, like, December 2024. And so we left his office, and I remember we were driving back home, and I was like, to my dad, surgery, December 2024, like, I have, like, a whole year with this hanging over my head that I need surgery, otherwise I'm going to go blind. What? And at that point, I was also meant to be getting monitored every 3 months at the hospital to make sure that it wasn't progressing too quickly. And so September comes around, and we have another checkup, and I'm like, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine, whatever. We see him, and he was like, you need surgery in 3 months in November now. Like, it's deteriorating, and if we don't fix it, you're going to go blind. Little did I know after that what I had waiting for me, because retinal detachment has got to be one of the most brutal things I've ever gone through. It's awful. It's basically when the retina separates from the back of your eye. Okay, so we have this vitreous gel in the back of our eyes. It's like a clear gel or whatever. And as you get older, it kind of separates from the retina or whatever itself. It, like, easily peels away. Normally. However, with retinopathy of prematurity, in my case, my vitreous gel was sticky, like really sticky, and my surgeon described it as stickier than some glues, like super glues and stuff, and it was tearing the retina away from the back of my eye, which, if that happens, you can either go blind or you can get permanent vision loss if it doesn't get fixed. So Yeah, I was due to have surgery on the 30th of November, which I did. It ended up being a 3-hour long surgery. It was supposed to originally be a day surgery. However, I ended up being in hospital for 4 days afterwards because of the amount of pain that I was in. Because what my surgeon had to do for me was he had to do a vitrectomy, scleral buckle band, and laser. The vitrectomy, he had to try and take out the vitreous gel from my eye and then replace it with a gas bubble. He had to try and put a silicone band around my eye to hold the back of the retina in place. And then he had to do a whole lot of laser as well. And so it was very painful. It was probably the most painful surgery that I remember having up until that point. Also, I have retinal detachment in both eyes. Well, I did. So that was the left eye done. And I could not see for 2.5 months out of that eye because I was told you have a 100% chance of cataracts, 20% chance that it won't work. And then there's also a chance that you could go blind due to how complicated the surgery is itself. And so going into a surgery like that at 17, not knowing if you're going to go blind or if you're going to lose vision, is terrifying. I'm going to put that out there. It is absolutely terrifying. So my recovery, I had to lie on my right side for 2.5 months from November 30th, basically, till January, end of January, right before school started. And that was not fun because I wasn't allowed to lie on my back or my right side. I had to lie on my right side still without, like, just still, unless I was eating or going to the bathroom, for 7 days after that particular surgery. And then after that surgery, January, I was having a post-surgery checkup, and we couldn't see in the back of my eye because I had developed a cataract. So I needed cataract surgery 2 weeks later. So I had my cataract surgery, and the day after, I went down to the eye clinic and I was like, I could see out of that eye. And I, at that point, that had been the hardest 2.5 months of my life, like, because not being able to see out of one eye is a lot harder than you would think. I couldn't pour drinks for myself. I couldn't eat food without spilling it everywhere. I was walking into doors, windows, you name it. I was walking into it. And it was just very, like, stressful because already having cerebral palsy and potentially losing your vision in either one or both of your eyes is not a fun thought to have, as it would have made life a lot harder. And it also, like, kind of, I didn't have any depth perception and it kind of just threw me off in general. So yeah, I had the first, like, week and a half of year 13 at, like, half blind. Like, I could not see out of my left eye. And then the morning after cataract surgery, on the 8th of February this year, we also discovered that my right eye was deteriorating really quickly, and that I would need surgery for that again in 3 months, which was like a month ago. I had that surgery. So my surgery in May, the one that I've recently had, like, was the hardest out of the three eye surgeries, and probably any of my surgeries that I've had, actually. I was trying to mentally prepare myself before the right eye was done, because I had had a feeling, like, for months that it would be worse than the left eye. That feeling was spot on, because it was worse than the left eye. It was a lot more complicated, and there was definitely a chance that I could go blind in my right eye, which again was really tough to hear. That surgery just in general, like, extremely painful. Like, I was told that morphine doesn't even touch eye pain. I was in hospital on morphine every 4 hours for the first 2 or 3 days. I think it was 2 days, because it was just so painful. Again, I was in there for three nights, 4 days. It was not a fun surgery. I was told my retinas were as hard as it gets, and that, you know, we're up against it. And keeping in mind, retinal detachment is something normally found in 50 and 60 year olds, not 17 year olds. So for this particular surgery, I had to lie on my stomach face down or on either of my side for 13 days without moving, which was actually really brutal because the 13th day was my 18th birthday, so I wasn't allowed to move my 18th birthday unless eating or going to the bathroom, which was hard because I also missed out on musical and athletics day and all that due to it. So where I'm currently at, my eye, again, I had the same surgery as I did on the left, vitrectomy, scleral band and laser. My gas bubble, still got it in my eye currently, is kind of halfway. So the top half of my eye is really blurry with floaters, which is really annoying. And the bottom half of my eye is gas bubble with a big black line smack in the middle of it. Not fun. But my next eye appointment, when I go back to the eye department, should be gone, the gas bubble, and then probably a cataract surgery again. But the thing with the gas bubble is it absorbs into your body, so you don't need it taken out from another surgery. But you're not allowed to fly on planes while you've got the gas bubble, and you're also not allowed laughing gas, nitric oxide. I think that's what it's called. I've got a green band on me currently that states that not allowed to fly to altitude and also not allowed laughing gas, which is a bit unfortunate because after my surgeries, I also went into urinary retention, which means catheters. And having to get catheters put in and taken out without laughing gas is not a fun experience at all. So, a bit sucky about the laughing gas, but it's fine. So yeah, currently, hopefully I'll get my vision back in my right eye. I'm not medically cleared to drive at the moment. I don't know. There's a very high possibility that I will not be able to drive. However, I got my vision back in my left eye. I'm feeling hopeful for the right eye. But yeah. Normally, retinal detachment is not found in 17-year-olds. It's something that I never thought I would get either. First of June 2023 kind of flipped my life upside down. However, I'm very grateful for the fact that I am able to get surgery for it, because with people with retinopathy of prematurity, some aren't able to, like, some people, they aren't able to get treatment for it. It really depends on how severe it is. So being able to get the surgery is super good, even if it is rather brutal. But it's not something that I would wish on even my worst enemy. I would not wish retinal detachment on anybody, because it is by far the hardest thing that I have ever had to go through. Can still see out of my left eye. Hopefully we'll be able to see out of my right eye. The people in the eye department are incredible. I have so much gratitude towards them and love for them and what they do. and my retina surgeon. Amazing. Yeah. So, so thankful. Thanks for coming along and tuning into this episode of Spilling the Reality with me, Vika, on Otago Access Radio Youth Zone. Can't wait to spill some more reality with you next time. You can find Spilling the Reality on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.